The Dallas Stars are back in action for their fifth of six games on the road. They'll be in Edmonton tonight, matching up with the Oilers. And on today's episode, I'm joined by host of Locked On Oilers, Brett Holden, to talk all about this matchup. We dive deep into both teams' rosters, talking about the superstars, and we look ahead to what the playoff picture looks like and where both of these teams could fall in the bracket on today's crossover episode of Locked On Oilers and Locked On Stars.
Your Locked On Stars, your daily podcast on the Dallas Stars. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Howdy, Stars fans. Welcome back to the Locked On Stars podcast, the only daily podcast covering the Dallas Stars, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, Dane Lewis, your local expert on all things Dallas Stars hockey, coming to you on this Thursday, March 16th. And whether this is your first time here or you are a recurring listener, thank you for stopping by and making the Locked On Stars podcast your first listen of the day. Be sure to subscribe to the show on YouTube or your favorite podcasting platform of choice. We're always free and available no matter where or how you choose to listen. Thank you guys for the understanding yesterday. Just busy time of year, as you all know, especially in the sports world. And so just took a day off to hit the reset button, but we're back and better than ever today. A little bit of a longer episode today. Me and Brett just chopping it up about our two respective teams. Brett Holden, of course, my counterpart at Locked On NHL, another free podcast offered by the Locked On Podcast Network, doing Western Conference Tuesdays. Every Tuesday, Brett and I talking about the Western Conference. So if you like what you hear on today's episode, be sure to check us out on Locked On NHL. But I won't hesitate any longer. Let's get into today's crossover episode, previewing tonight's game between the Stars and the Oilers. Now here's today's conversation between myself and Brett Holden of Locked On Oilers. Welcome in, everybody, to this Western Conference crossover, Locked On Stars and Locked On Oilers, the third and final meeting between these two teams this season. And joining me now is Brett Holden of Locked On Oilers. Some of you may be familiar with both of us doing episodes together on the national show, Locked On NHL, but now we're getting a chance to only talk about our teams, which is a little bit unique for us. But I'm excited, Brett. I imagine you're excited as well, and excited for this game, too. Some pretty big star power coming into this matchup.
Have we talked before? I don't think we know each other. I don't know. Have we talked? Yeah, no, there's, I mean, we could go down the list of star power that's going to be in this matchup. And it's going to be a big, big matchup. And I think the Stars are going to be coming out to shine in this one.
Yeah, no doubt. Like you said, should be a fun game, an exciting game. Two pretty relatively, I don't want to say fully lopsided, because I think each game earlier on in this season series had some moments of intensity, but early on in the year, the Stars go to Edmonton and pick up a pretty substantial win. And then the Oilers come to Dallas, and it was a kind of close game. And then the Oilers really kind of ran away with things in the third period. So it seems like it's going to be a pretty evenly matched game. It's late in the season. Both teams are fighting for playoff positioning. It seems like they're both poised to make the postseason. The Oilers are actually now top three in the Pacific Division. But you can't talk about this season in Edmonton without talking about what 97 is doing on the stat sheet. I mean, 56 goals, 73 assists, 129 points. I mean, we haven't seen numbers like this since 2019. Nikita Kucherov had 128, but McDavid has already surpassed that, and there's still, what, 15 or so games left in the season? Is this something that has surprised you? I feel like this is something that isn't being talked about quite enough. Like, people are like, oh, McDavid, 56 goals, but like, we haven't seen numbers like this in a long, long time. Like Lemieux, Gretzky days is what it feels like. And I, maybe outside of maybe in Edmonton, it is getting the proper attention, but all the way here in Dallas, I mean, people say, yeah, I mean, he's McDavid, he's the best player in the league, but I mean, these are historic numbers. I mean, has this caught you off guard? What's kind of the talk around these stats in Edmonton?
Well, the number right now, 129 points, is the most amount of points any active player has ever produced, but it's also the most amount of single season points since the 2005 lockout. That is how long anybody has seen something like this now, and which makes me feel old because I remember the lockout like it was yesterday. But what the thing about McDavid and in Edmonton is, I think what really happens is it's not like fatigue, but you just sit here and you go, I wish I could. You see it every night. You know what you're expecting almost. And when you say, is it a surprise for when you see the points? Kind of. When you really see the numbers, you sit there and you go, wow, this is like, we are really seeing greatness. But as Edmonton has seen for a long time, this is exactly what Connor McDavid has done night in and night out. And you can see it now progressively. Now he's being more, or finishing those chances more. I remember in his first few years, he would come in on breakaways and you'd sit there and go, oh, it's McDavid. It's automatic. It's going to go in the net. And he wouldn't score. And you sit there and go, okay, well, maybe the next time. And he comes in and he wouldn't score. And you go, what is going on? Like, this is Connor McDavid. Now you see him on a breakaway and you're like, oh, well, just skate back to center ice. You know, yeah. It's going into the net. He consistently, it's obvious that he's getting better, but he's also producing more. And you see that from, I think it's the external pressures. And I'm not talking about the fans or the media or anything like that. I'm talking about from his best friend, Leon Draisaitl, who sat there this summer with Elliot Friedman and Jeff Merrick and said, I think Connor can score 60. And I told him that this year, I think he should go out there and shoot more and score 60. And we're what? 3 goals away from that? I don't know. It's just amazing to see. And at least for Edmontonians got Gretzky and now they got McDavid. So it's a little bit of, it feels like nepotism almost at this point.
Yeah, no doubt. And I mean, an incredible season. And of course, you have his, you know, right-hand man, Leon Draisaitl, also with 100 points. I mean, I feel like that's also not getting talked about enough, that he's still having that incredible season. And it's so funny with McDavid, because I remember hearing that bit as well from Draisaitl with Merrick and Friedman. Is like, oh, he could score 60. And there was a point in the season where I think even Jason Robertson at one point led the league in goals. Tage Thompson got close. Pasta. And then so there's all this discussion of, oh, maybe McDavid is going to get outscored by all these young kids. And then it's not even close now. So, I mean, he's reminded everyone who's in charge in this league. And so the discourse around the Oilers, of course, has been McDavid, Draisaitl, very good. And obviously last year they make it to the Western Conference Finals, but they get swept by what was a very good Avalanche team. So now kind of the discourse is you got to add to the team, and whether that's in free agency, the trade deadline, all of that has come and gone now. And this is kind of the final version of the Oilers that we're going to see going into the postseason. They went out and they did make some moves. Not, I wouldn't say, or at least in my eyes, any home run moves, but definitely added some good pieces. Nick Bjugstad, Matthias Ekholm, they send Jesse Puljujärvi to Carolina. What were your thoughts on Edmonton's moves at the deadline? Were you satisfied with it? Were you wanting more? Do you think this team is in the right space it needs to be personnel-wise going into the playoffs, or do you think there's something missing still?
Well, all year, the talk has been how the Edmonton Oilers can improve their D. Is it going to be Jacob Chychrun? Is it going to be Joel Edmondson, which thankfully it wasn't. And somehow throughout most of the talks, Matthias Ekholm kind of stayed tucked behind the weeds. And then the last couple of weeks, before the trade deadline, it started to ramp up again. And sometimes there were talks about Matthias Ekholm, but it would seem kind of out of reach for the Edmonton Oilers. Matthias Ekholm has been the home run move the Edmonton Oilers were looking for. He has made Evan Bouchard substantially better. To a point where you sit there and you went, what is wrong with Evan Bouchard? Like, you sit there and you watch his play. He looks weak in his own end. He doesn't know how to shoot the puck. He doesn't know where to put the puck. And now Matthias Ekholm comes in here and he's a totally different defenseman. A lot of people know just how good he is in his own end, but he's a really good puck mover. He has 4 points already as an Edmonton Oiler, including a massive goal against the Toronto Maple Leafs only 22 seconds after they scored the opening goal. In that one, he got the assist on Nick Bjugstad's buzzer beater. Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, Bjugstad has been playing his position and really playing his role, and Matthias Ekholm has really solidified the Edmonton Oilers defense to a point where he might be the Edmonton Oilers' number one defenseman.
Yeah, I mean, it's moves like that sometimes, and I know we've talked about this on Locked On NHL, sometimes the smaller moves are the ones that make more of a difference for a team, because the Oilers, like we have talked about, have the star power of Draisaitl and McDavid, but you need, you know, those firm foundation pieces. And I think we even saw that with Colorado last year. Not really too many home runs, but they go out and get an Arturi Lehkonen, and they go out and add these other smaller pieces that the name might not be. Yeah. They might not be the flashiest names, but I mean, they had that depth that other teams just couldn't match. And we saw it throughout every series in the postseason. And so I'm curious to see what this Oilers team looks like down the stretch. And of course, you know, we'll talk a little bit about playoff expectations and where we think our teams will finish later. But I do want to give, as my last question here, just a little foretaste of that, kind of trailing off the McDavid talk. If the Oilers, you know, the West is pretty wide open, I think, in my mind, and it's kind of up for grabs who's going to make it out of the West. But I think the Oilers certainly have a shot given, you know, the guys leading the team. But if they don't make it to the Stanley Cup Finals, if they don't make it past where they were last season, how do you think Oilers fans are going to label the season? Because I feel like, you know, last year you make it to the conference finals and you say, okay, well, we lost to the eventual champions, a very good team. We're probably not going to see our roster that stacked, at least out West, maybe for a while. I know the East, a whole other can of worms, but we don't have to talk about that. How do you define the season if the Oilers don't make it back at least to where they were, if not one step further, of making that Cup Finals appearance? Because I feel like with McDavid, I mean, that's been kind of the expectation over the past few seasons, just given how he's played, and then especially this season. I mean, again, incredible numbers.
Yeah, it would be a failure. It's a good question, and it would be a failure. It's even last year, a lot of Edmonton Oilers fans sat there and went, that's not good enough for the Edmonton Oilers. And that's not good enough for an Edmonton Oilers team that has Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. And the always inherent fear here in Edmonton is, and rightfully so, I mean, you sit here and you have the great one in Wayne Gretzky, you go, oh, there's no way. How could you ever lose a guy or move a guy like Wayne Gretzky? And the unmovable was moved. So Edmonton Oilers fans have this kind of always festering PTSD of going, oh, is he going to go watch what he says in the media? You know, it's always been kind of scary for Edmonton Oilers fans. And that starts with the fact that the Edmonton Oilers still haven't won a Stanley Cup with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. Last year in the playoffs, I grabbed my notes from last night's show because this is insane. In the last 16 games for Connor McDavid, he has 15 goals, 20 assists, 35 points. In the last 16 points. In 16 games in the playoffs last year, he had 10 goals, 23 assists, 33 points. So 2 points off of what he already has in the last 16 games. I bring that up because he was fantastic for the Edmonton Oilers, the highest scoring point producer for the Edmonton Oilers. And right behind him with 32 points was Leon Draisaitl with one leg. And the Edmonton Oilers were still able to get to the Stanley Cup, or not the Stanley Cup, the Western Conference Finals. See, I'm already pushing the limit here. But the Edmonton Oilers were able to do that with a one-legged Leon Draisaitl and a dog-tired Connor McDavid, who carried the Edmonton Oilers. Now the Edmonton Oilers have Evander Kane for a full year. He was injured, but the Edmonton Oilers did have him under contract all year. The Oilers have Zach Hyman, who has been an absolute revelation this year in the NHL. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is looking like that first overall pick back in 2012. Like, he's been great, and those are the top six. Then you get guys like Kyler Yamamoto, who has scored 20 goals in this league before, Nick Bjugstad, Derek Ryan. You can go down the list of the bottom six guys, Warren Fogle, all guys who have over 10 goals for the Edmonton Oilers this year. In fact, five of the Edmonton Oilers' bottom six players have 10 or more goals this year. The only one player is Devin Shore, who's been on an absolute heater as of late for the Edmonton Oilers. It would be a failure for this team to not at least reach the Stanley Cup Finals, and especially with the addition of Matthias Ekholm Unfortunately, it starts and ends in the crease for the Oilers, but we'll see. That's really the conversation for later.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll touch on that a little bit later on in the show, but we're going to talk a little bit about the Dallas Stars next. But first, we're going to take a minute and say thank you to one of the sponsors of today's episode. That's, of course, our friends at FanDuel. The midway point of the NBA season is here, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Because new customers can get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Super easy is not how I would describe how things are going basketball-wise in Dallas. The Mavericks, the offense is there. Absolutely no defense, but still some exciting teams to bet on. Whether you want to take a risk on the Mavs, I wouldn't take it, but I know Boston, Denver, teams like that kind of gearing up for some deep runs. Should be an exciting NBA postseason. You can bet on everything from the money line to point scorers and three-pointers drained. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. So don't miss a chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 back in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA.
No love for the Clippers?
I mean, if I'm talking about the Mavericks, I can't. The Clippers are the Mavericks' kryptonite in the postseason. I can't. If I acknowledge them, then the Clippers win. You know what I mean?
You're our kryptonite. Yeah. Okay.
I misspoke. The Clippers are the Mavericks. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah.
The Mavericks, yeah. Kryptonite.
Yeah, sure.
Game four of the 2020, what was that, 2020 playoffs in the bubble. That was great. And then that we peaked in that moment. The Doncic game winner.
You sure did. Speaking of Dallas playoffs, though, you guys had a pretty interesting playoff series last year against the Calgary Flames. And that was basically the coming out party for Jake Oettinger. He's been fantastic as the Stars goaltender. How has he been this year? And do you think he can make kind of a similar... Let's start with Jake Oettinger right now, because I love Jake Oettinger. Do you think he can kind of be as good as he was last year in the playoffs heading into this year? I'm going right into the playoffs, I guess, with this first question. But I just want to know your confidence, I guess, more than his playoff acumen right now.
Yeah, my confidence in Jake Oettinger right now is... I mean, about as high as it can be. He's been incredible this season. I mean, yeah, I totally agree. I think the playoffs last year, his introduction to the NHL world, Stars fans knew he was good, and he was good last regular season, but, you know, had a few games here and there where he wasn't sharp, and then, you know, things would kind of snowball. But this year it's been different. He's still not immune to bad games. Every goalie's going to have a bad night here and there, but it's the way that Jake Oettinger responds to those bad games. He hardly ever has bad back-to-back outings, and especially on the road this season. He has been incredible for this Stars team. And, you know, right now they've really needed them. The Stars are, what, this game in Edmonton is game four or five, excuse me, of six straight on the road. And Jake Oettinger has started all but one, and it was Tuesday night's game in Vancouver. That was night two of a back-to-back, and the Stars lost that game in Vancouver, but they had won all the other games leading up to that moment. I mean, I think, and I was talking about this a week ago going into this road trip, Jake Oettinger's numbers, like save percentage, goals against average, I mean, pretty much every quote-unquote important goalie statistic is, for him, is top two or top one in the NHL. I mean, he's not just one of the best goalies in the NHL. I think he's in the discussion to be one of the best, and at least on the road, I think he is the best goalie, and the Stars' road record reflects that, because sometimes they don't always score well on the road, but anytime that they're wearing their white sweaters and they're not in the American Airlines Center, if Jake Oettinger's between the pipes, it doesn't matter who they're playing. They have a great chance to win the game, and he's been a big part of it. His confidence, I think, has grown throughout the season. You can tell how much these guys on the team love playing for him and going out and getting wins for him, and it's been incredible to watch. And he's still pretty young, what, 23 years old, and, you know, still a lot of his career left ahead of him. But, I mean, he's looked great this season. That was one of the biggest questions coming into this year is, was the playoff series a fluke, or is that kind of, again, an introduction to what should hopefully be a great career as an NHL goaltender? And so far it seems like we're going to be seeing some pretty special stuff from him for the next few years.
It's incredible. I love watching Jake Oettinger. That shot of those fans just going, ooh, doing the whatever that was, the voodoo. Fantastic. And it showed just how cold he was for the playoffs. But so you mentioned some things that I really want to kind of get on to you about here. But you really mentioned the consistency, I guess, of Jake Oettinger and just how well he's played, especially on the road. You guys were in a really big battle for first place for a pretty long while now with the Winnipeg Jets, and you had basically that was the battle. I mean, the Wild and the Avalanche and everybody else have kind of done their old thing the whole year, but it was kind of you and the Jets at the top the entire season. Now the Jets have fallen off the cliff a little bit here, and you guys have the throne to sit on. What do you kind of attribute that to? Because there was a little bit of a run going on here for the Stars, and also a little bit of a run going on for the Jets too. But what do you kind of attribute that success and the fact that you guys are now the kings of the Central right now?
I think a big part of it, one, I think there's two sides. One, the Stars, something that they can't necessarily control, and one thing they can. And the thing that they can't really control that they've been very fortunate up until recently has been health. This has been one of the healthiest teams in the NHL. They'll have guys go out for a game or two every now and then. Roope Hintz missed a little bit of time. Jake Oettinger actually missed a decent stretch in the first month of the season, four or five games. So, I mean, every now and then a guy gets, you know, nicks and scratches. And even on this road trip the Stars have been on, Tyler Seguin got his leg cut open in Buffalo. Mason Marchment collided with Vince Dunn in Seattle and didn't get up very quickly, which isn't very Mason Marchment-esque, but I mean, outside of that, this team has been very healthy, and I'm knocking on my wooden desk right now that continues to stay true. But they've been able to get their guys out there on the ice. They've been able to dress a healthy roster all season. But then the other side of the coin, the things they can control, it's the depth of the team, and I think the veteran presence on the team. There's so many guys on this roster that have been hungry for not just another deep playoff run, but to get to the Stanley Cup Finals and win the Stanley Cup Finals. Jamie Benn, Tyler Seguin, who has been there and done that with the Boston Bruins back in his early days, but Joe Pavelski also on this team. And even with some, you know, additions of some veterans at the trade deadline and Max Domi, Evgeny Dodonov, this is just a very disciplined team in the terms of they know what it takes to win in this league. And things haven't always been smooth sailing this season. But I mean, the Stars have done a pretty good job of not letting bad games snowball early on in the season, especially. I mean, it took them, I think, until the new year 2023 for them to win three or lose three consecutive games in regulation. And so this team is just very good at, you know, if they lose, learn from it, but then forget about it and move on. They don't get too low on the lows. They don't get too high on the highs. And I think they've just managed themselves very well throughout this season, mentally, physically. And a big part of that, I think, is the leadership on the team.
You have no clue how old that makes me feel when you roped in Tyler Seguin to Jamie Benn and Joe Pavelski. Okay. First of all, I remember watching him get drafted. Okay. But you mentioned Tyler Seguin. I wanted to know what the update on Seguin's injury is right now. Cause the Edmonton Oilers saw a skate injury earlier this year as well with Evander Kane. So topic of conversation right now in the general managers meetings as well in Florida that are going on. What's the status on Tyler Seguin and how long do you think he's going to be out?
Yeah, a scary situation. And as soon as I heard what Seguin's injury was, my mind went to the Evander Kane injury. And I mean, it's so rare to see in hockey, the skate cuts, but it does happen. And it sucks that it happens. And Tyler Seguin, like I said a little bit earlier, got his leg cut open, just a collision along the boards. I think laceration in the leg is the official medical term that they're using. The left leg, he's been stitched up. I know he's had the leg wrapped. I think he's been on crutches for a little bit. And I haven't seen anything yet of an official timetable for his return. It's kind of been expected that he's going to sit out the rest of this road trip, and he's done just that. I mean, this happened, a week ago, Thursday night in Buffalo, so it's been a little over a week. But I think the expectation is he should be good to go for playoffs. I mean, with these, you definitely don't want to rush stuff back. You want to make sure everything heals properly, that you're not putting yourself in a position for the stitches to, you know, to come undone and the wound to reopen. And so I imagine the Stars are exercising every bit of caution, one, for, you know, the team and having one of your better players out there, but also just for his long-term health, because Tyler Seguin has kind of been through the ringer health-wise over the past few seasons. And so I'm sure that they're exercising every bit of caution, but not really an official timetable on his return yet. But I can't imagine, I can almost guarantee he's not going to play in Edmonton, and I don't think he'll play in Calgary on Saturday night either. And then we'll just kind of go from there. I think once they get done with the road trip, they'll maybe reevaluate things, and then right. we might get a better idea of when he's coming back.
See, and it's a shame because people don't really necessarily really understand the how important or how scary really that type of situation is. I mean, everybody saw the Evander Kane one on the wrist. Everybody knows how scary that is, but especially when you see it under the equipment. And I remember season tickets is a bit of a story, so I apologize. Not really a story, but a quick one. But Jared Stoll, he used to play for obviously in the NHL, but he used to play with the Edmonton Roadrunners in that same 2005 lockout, back when the Oilers had an AHL team here. But during one of those games, he ended up getting cut by his calf. He was cut by his skate. Open ice type play, and the how quick and urgent everything happened on that ice. And I remember third row watching it happen on the ice as a 6-year-old or 8-year-old, 10-year-old, and watching it happen going, wow, this is serious. And we saw it happen with Erik Karlsson as well a couple of years ago. It's a scary situation. Ilya Mikheyev too. So yeah, scary situation. Just wanted to really talk about how important and scary that situation is. And all the best to all the people who are actually first responders on that type of situation. Can't be easy. But two more quick questions for you. I want to know about Jason Robertson. How is he doing this?
I really don't know, but it's so fun to watch because, I mean, he's just been on an upward trajectory through what? This is now his third year in the league. Calder finalist rookie year, 41 goals in his sophomore campaign, and now he's at 39, and he's 8 points away from setting the new franchise record for points in the season. Mike Modano, 93 in the 1993-1994 season. Robertson currently at 85 points. And so it's kind of across like the Stars fandom and community of the hope that he can break that record at home, just because I don't know if Stars fans, especially people that have been watching this team since they've come to Dallas. I mean, that 1993-94 season was the first time the Stars played in Dallas and not in Minnesota. Like, I just don't know if there was ever the belief that we would see another Modano-esque player. And it's still very early in Jason Robertson's career. I'm not saying he's going to surpass Mike Modano, but this is maybe the closest we've been. Yeah. Jamie Benn, Tyler Seguin, great players. They're like, I can envision them maybe getting their numbers retired down the road, especially if they can win a cup while they're still with the team. Different discussion for a different day, but we haven't seen a guy like Jason Robertson in quite some time. And what he's done through 2.5 seasons, it's nothing short of spectacular. So, and I think last year he wasn't as big of a player in the playoff series against Calgary. I think, I mean, it is his first time in the Stanley Cup playoffs, but now he has that 7 games under his belt. He has this whole season under his belt of kind of being the guy offensively. And I'm really excited to see what he can do in the postseason.
To wrap up on the Dallas Stars here before we get into a little bit of a playoff talk, a couple moves for you guys at the deadline as well, including a potential Oilers target, I guess is the word I'm looking for. And Max Domi also got Evgeny Dodonov as well. How have they been, and how has kind of their integration into the lineup been? And do you think they've been making the impact that you expect from these type of moves?
Yeah, both additions so far have been great for this team. I think Jim Neal and the Stars front office really knocked it out of the park. Again, two pretty subtle moves at the deadline, but they went out and added two players that are contributing to the team, and they didn't really have to give too much up. I mean, they lose Anton Khudobin, Denis Gurianov, and a second round pick in 2025. And starting with the Dodonov trade, I mean, that's the classic change of scenery trade. I think similar to the Esa Puljujarvi deal with Carolina, the Stars send Gurianov to Montreal. Montreal sends Dodonov to Dallas. And he's been incredible for this team so far. He wasn't really scoring a ton of goals, but now he's finally starting to get in the scoring column a little bit. With the Dallas Stars, he has 8 points in 9 games. And I think since his first night in Dallas, he was on the line with Jamie Benn and Wyatt Johnston, the rookie who's also having a great year. And he's been contributing from the get-go and really hasn't skipped a beat. And then Max Domi, very similar. He's kind of not been bounced around a little bit, but with Tyler Seguin getting injured and now Mason Marchment getting injured. We've seen him play with some different guys, but he's also making a really good impact. And I think what he does so well is his decision-making and his vision are really paying dividends for this team. And I don't know if you saw it, or I guess this was over the weekend. The Stars were playing in Seattle. They go to overtime, which they've been horrendous in 3-on-3 overtime this season. And a big part of it is, one, they can't possess the puck, but then when they do, they tend to be a little sloppy with it or hesitant, and that ends to turnovers that, you know, the other team takes up ice and they score. But there was a play Saturday night where Domi, Dadonov, and Miro Heiskanen are out there on the ice in 3-on-3, and Max Domi just makes he kind of skates the puck in and holds on to it maybe a little longer than most players would, but then he makes this excellent saucer pass. I mean, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say one of the best passes that I've seen this season. Kind of floats in and it gets right on Miro Heiskanen's stick, and he buries it for the OT winner. Two big points for the team, but it's just little plays like that have made the difference with Domi. He can, of course, score. He plays with a little bit of tenacity, a little bit of an edge, like his dad, Ty Domi, did back in the day, but he's been a great player. Both guys, I think, have been excellent pickups, and I think that they're going to be nice additions down the stretch and, of course, in the postseason as well.
Man, Max Domi and Mason Marchment, that is a tough line to play against. Alrighty, Dane, let's talk a little bit of playoffs here. Both of our teams are getting into, let's be real here, the West isn't that close. Let's start talking about playoffs and playoff matchups. Let's talk about that right here.
Yeah, third and final segment here, talking a little bit about the playoff picture out West. Both teams, Stars and Oilers, seem poised to make it. Both teams in the top three in their division. And I kind of want to start on the Oilers side of things, because this has been such a weird year in the Pacific where it's kind of just been Vegas hovering around the top and LA kind of nip, you know, right on their heels, can't quite surpass them. And then it's kind of Edmonton, Seattle, and Calgary's hanging around. I don't know if they're going to get in, but Edmonton seems to kind of be on, at least from what I've seen, the kind of the upward trajectory, whereas Seattle's starting to stumble a little bit. Where do you see the Edmonton Oilers finishing this season as far as standings? And do you think it matters that much? Is there a team, would you rather play the Kings or would you rather get matched up with either Vegas or the winner of the Central, is kind of what I'm getting at.
Yeah, no, and you know what? That's been something I've been wrapping my head around the last couple of days. And the Edmonton Oilers now, they are, as of recording this, because the Seattle Kraken, I believe, do play tonight. As of right now, sit third in the Pacific, would be facing the LA Kings. To be honest, I would like the Kings. I would like to go at them again. You know, there's still bad blood between the Edmonton Oilers and the Los Angeles Kings. And we saw it in their most recent matchup just last month, where the Edmonton Oilers lost 6-3. And after that game, the Edmonton Oilers have been on a tear. The Edmonton Oilers were, I don't remember the exact numbers right now, but it was just, the Edmonton Oilers hadn't lost in regulation for about 10 games or something like that. It really turned the Edmonton Oilers on, but specifically in that game, why it really turned the Oilers on was, yes, Puljujärvi fought. Zach Hyman fought. Klim Kostin fought. That was the first time where you saw, the Oilers do have a little bit of a backbone here. And it wasn't just random guys these guys were fighting. The Edmonton Oilers, yes, Puljujärvi fought, I believe it was Brendan Lemieux, who then later on fought Klim Kostin at the end of the game. And then in the second period, Zach Hyman fought Sean Durzi, who gave the Edmonton Oilers a whole bunch of fits during the playoffs. And the Edmonton Oilers know as well, you may have seen my Twitter and my comments on Mikey Anderson a couple of times here, but the Edmonton Oilers don't like Mikey Anderson either, as he was the one who slew-footed Leon Draisaitl and forced that massive injury for Leon there. So there's still bad blood for the Oilers and the Kings. So I wouldn't mind getting the Kings. I'll be 100% honest here, though, too. I don't care who the Oilers get in the first round. I'm sorry, but they're moving on. there's no team, genuinely, I'm sitting here, there's no team in the West I'm scared of if I'm the Edmonton Oilers.
You're not scared of Colorado?
No. And it's not, they should be, but I think on paper, in theory, and we've talked about this a lot on Locked On NHL about their injuries and everything like that, they're going to be back for playoffs. That's a given. And whether they're forced to be back or rushed back, I should say, they're going to be back for playoffs. And I'm talking about Gabriel Landeskog, Josh Manson. We can go down that literal laundry list of players who are injured. The thing is that objectively, they're fantastic hockey players, and objectively, they make that team better. But when was the last time they played? For everybody else in that series, it's a playoff series. For everybody else, or for the players who are injured and coming back, it's their first games of the season. They're really good hockey players, but I just don't see them pushing at this point now of the season. The Avalanche, I'm sorry, but they're just not that strong of a team that I see in my eyes anymore.
Maybe it's because I'm watching my team in the Central Division and I just know what the Avalanche can do, but that's a team that I think I'm on a similar page of view of, like, no one really scares me in the first round, but right. I think Colorado would, and just again because there's the division history there, but I think Colorado's probably going to finish top three, so the Stars might not have to worry about them until, you know, round two or three hopefully. But yeah, that's interesting, and I think Pacific division wise I can definitely see the angle there. I think Edmonton certainly has, you know, the chops to stick with anybody. And I, you know, as good as some of these teams are, I agree. I think first round, I think Edmonton is going to be coming in with a bit of a chip on their shoulder, just given what the expectations are that you touched on earlier.
Isn't that scary, though? Like, think about that. Like, the Edmonton Oilers, the highest scoring team in the NHL this year, the highest scoring NHL team, are coming into the playoffs with a chip on their shoulder. Huh? Excuse me? They also got arguably one of, if not the best, shutdown defensemen in the NHL in Mattias Ekholm, which has been one of, if not their biggest holes on their team. You can talk, again, the goaltending is the goaltending. You can get decent goaltending and still win a Stanley Cup. I'm looking at you, Colorado. But still, it's not that bad for the Edmonton Oilers, especially when you take a look at sometimes down the stretch, Stuart Skinner just looks unbeatable. So, and I know the Oilers signed Jack Campbell, but that's the other thing too, though, is the Oilers can fall back on Jack Campbell, who has shown in the past that he can be a Vezina Trophy candidate. He wasn't a candidate necessarily, but he was in that conversation. People were talking about him winning it this year. So that's scary. But who do you want to face? That's my question. Is you're sitting here, do you want to face Seattle? Seattle's been pretty good this year. Like, do you trust I would trust the Stars in that situation, but the Kraken are sneaky good.
Yeah, I they are sneaky good, but and this is definitely a little bit of recency bias because the Stars just played them in back-to-back games on Saturday and Monday. So I've, like, seen the Kraken up close recently, and then they're going to play again sometime early on next week. So, like, they're getting all their games in soon. But after watching those two games, both of them being in Seattle, that's kind of who I want to see the Stars get matched up with. I'd want to miss out on Minnesota and Colorado. Like, hopefully they get matched up with each other, so that way one of them gets eliminated. And then Winnipeg, maybe. Winnipeg would really just almost be a goalie battle. It's like you have Ottinger and Hellebuck, maybe one of the best goalie matchups in the first round of the playoffs, which we kind of got that last year. Markstrom, before he fell off a cliff, also had a really good series against Dallas. So
what happened to him? Sorry.
Beats me, man. Beats me. But but Seattle, yeah, I mean, they certainly have some strengths, but I think you also look at that team and you see a lack of playoff inexperience at some points in the roster. I mean, guy like Matty Beniers obviously has never been to the Stanley Cup playoffs, and he's one of their best players, and I think he could make an impact. But I mean, and I talk about this all the time, I mean, playoff hockey is just a totally different animal from the regular season in terms of the intensity, the environments you're playing in, the physicality. I mean, it just is so different. It takes a different toll on you as a player physically and mentally. I really would not mind a first round matchup with Seattle, and that's kind of who I'm eyeballing, but I also wouldn't mind Winnipeg, and it'd be nice to win that series of just, like, we beat our former coach, but also it would just suck if the Stars lost in the first round to their former coach that they let walk in the summer. And I mean, I think a first round exit is disappointment. And I think the expectation, given how this season has gone and given how seemingly wide open the West is, like, I think the Stars and Oilers are in a similar spot of, like, you have to at least get to the conference finals, if not further. I mean, some of these older veteran players like Joe Pavelski signed a one-year extension for next year, but I mean, time is running out on some of these older players who haven't won the Stanley Cup. And I know Pete DeBoer has also been oh so close twice. I mean, he's been there and hasn't been able to finish the job. There's a little bit of a chip on his shoulder as well. So, but I think, you know, the first round series does matter. And if the Stars can get matched up with Seattle, I feel like that's their best chance to, you know, take care of business relatively early, maybe a 5-6 game series, and then look ahead to whoever's next, which is going to be a much more difficult opponent.
Yeah. What happened the last time an expansion team made the playoffs for the first time?
They went pretty far, but they didn't win it.
They didn't win it. You're dang right, Dane. I love it. I just also want to mention, just before we wrap up here, as we normally do, we always ramble on here, don't we, Dane? I just wanted to add on for the Edmonton Oilers. It's their depth so far this year. Right now, the Edmonton Oilers have had the best lineup that they've been able to put out there, especially the acquisition of Nick Bjugstad has been fantastic. Each night you're taking out a guy and maybe a Kleem Kost and maybe a Warren Fogle, a Devin Shore, who's been playing really well, a Derek Ryan, who's 3 goals away from his career high in goals. There are guys in the bottom six who consistently go out there. Ryan McLeod has been fantastic for the Edmonton Oilers all year. But the Edmonton Oilers can still add Dylan Holloway to this lineup at some point. He was sent down for paper transactions, because he ended up going to go play in Bakersfield, but he got injured and has been out for, and will be out for 4 to 6 weeks from the time of the injury. That leads up to about the last couple of weeks before the playoffs. The Edmonton Oilers might be adding Dylan Holloway again to this playoff roster, and the Oilers can add him. That's very scary for whatever. And it's not like, oh, you're adding Connor McDavid, but that's just another guy that a fantastic skater who has proven himself often in this last couple of weeks, I guess. Not last couple of weeks as he's been injured, but this season in total. So another guy that you can add to this Edmonton Oilers roster who can go out there and play a full 200 feet at pace. So I just wanted to mention that, because I think that also gets really lost on the Edmonton Oilers roster right now.
Absolutely. That kind of stuff can make all the difference. And I think this game on Thursday night is going to be entertaining. And who know, both of us kind of evaded the fact that there's a chance the Stars and Oilers could meet in the first round if Dallas holds on to that first spot in the Central. And some, I don't see it happening just given the teams below them. But like, if Edmonton slips down to that one of those wildcard spots, it could happen. And there's every now and then I get people in my, you know, comments or on Twitter that are a little bit older and have seen more Stars hockey talking about. And this was before I was born. So that's what I mean by a little bit older. Before I was born, there was kind of and maybe it actually was a really great rivalry, but these teams met up in the playoffs a lot in the late 90s, early 2000s. I'm seeing here from 97 to 01, I think they met every year in the postseason. So
I think I'm older than you. So I know I look very young, don't I? Thank you. But
you do look very young.
But yes, like Edmontonians, if you like growing up, Edmontonians hated the Dallas Stars. One of my first games ever was the Edmonton Oilers and Marty Turco's Dallas Stars. Like, there were massive battles between those two teams, and I grew up hating the Dallas Stars. Yeah, that was the team outside of the Calgary Flames that the Edmonton Oilers just somehow always drew, and it was a real, real rivalry. So yes, 100%. It was so much the good old days,
right? But I mean, maybe we're on the doorstep of seeing, if it's not in the first round, maybe it's in a later round, and you know, we get the start of a, you know, it feels weird comparing them because of the stats difference, but like a you know, McDavid and Robertson-esque rivalry, or you know, Roope Hintz and McDavid. You know, I don't know. I think both teams kind of have that 1-2 punch of like McDavid, Draisaitl, and the Stars have Robertson, Hintz. And so, I mean, that's just me dreaming, and I think that could be really fun and kind of a nice bit of nostalgia for you know, Stars and Oilers fans that got to witness that rivalry happen again. I was not alive for some of these series that I'm looking at on my screen, but who knows? And I'm excited for this game, excited for the postseason, and kind of ready for things to get rolling. Because I think as fun as the East is going to be to watch those teams beat up on each other, I think the West is just so intriguing because legitimately, any of these teams that I see projected to be in the playoffs, like, you could present a case for why they could make it out of the West, and I could probably buy it.
I'm going to make one more NBA reference before we head out here.
Do it.
That whole conversation has made me very Josh Giddey. It was a soft one. I'm sorry. I gave you a whole lineup and it was going to be a lot funnier in my head. But it's making me giddy just thinking about it. I can't wait. Last year, we got the Battle of Alberta for the Oilers and the Flames. Could we get a little bit of a re-sparking of what would that be? The Cowboys type beat? I don't know.
Yeah.
We have to come up with one if we end up meeting up, Dane. Thank you so much for having me today. This is fun.
Yeah. This was awesome. And if you're listening, Oilers fan, Stars fan, or if you just clicked on, we do this every Tuesday on the Locked On NHL show, free publicity. So be sure to check that out. You can find it in the same spot as the podcast you're listening to right now. So we do this again every Tuesday, but we also talk about different teams. We promise. We did a whole episode a few weeks ago talking about only the lottery team. So we talk about everybody. We talk about everybody.
I was just going to say we should do this more often.
Yeah. And hey, maybe we'll get to do this again for a playoff series like we just said. So knock on wood.
I love it. Thank you, Dane.
Again, huge thank you to Brett for crossing over today. Ton of fun. Hopefully you guys enjoyed today's episode. I know I enjoyed taking part in it and am excited to watch tonight's game. We will be back here tomorrow with a recap of the game. And we'll probably look ahead to Saturday's matchup with the Calgary Flames as the six-game road trip begins to wind down. And every game matters. I mean, every game has mattered for a while now for the Dallas Stars, but especially now it's time to lock and load and get dialed in for the final 10 games or so of the regular season. But that's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you for tuning in, making us your first listen of the day. Subscribe on YouTube, follow on your favorite podcasting platform. Follow us on social media, Locked On Stars on Instagram and Twitter. At @Dane_Lewis is, of course, my personal Twitter account. Thank you guys for the continued support. Enjoy your Thursday, and we'll see you right back here tomorrow.